Hey, what's up, Kirk?
Hey, Greg.
How you doing,
I'm
man?
Pretty good. How are you?
All right. I'm doing great. You want to talk some fancy
Yes,
football?
fancy that.
Oh, sweet, man. Hey, so this is just a continuation of our divisional previews. Today we're going to talk about the AFC
Woo-hoo!
South. Well, that's not how I feel about it. I actually think this is probably the most boring division in football, but whatever. Wow. You're always happy to do this,
I
though.
know.
Yeah. So before we get there, though, something really important question that seems to keep coming up in a lot of the mock drafts I'm doing. So I want to pose it to you and just kind of get your take
okay.
on it. And this is dealing with rookie running backs. You know, last NFL season, there was a lot of really successful rookie running backs. A lot of big names were taken in the first and second round this year. I kind of want to get your take, other than Saquon Barkley. He was the obvious choice of the first running back who's going to go, rookie running back. I want to get your take on who's the next running back you would take. And I want to pose four names to you. So in a fantasy draft, which one of these rookie running backs would you be most likely to draft? In other words, which of these situations do you like the most? And they are as follows. Sony Michel, who was drafted in the first round by the New England Patriots. Rashad Penny, who was drafted in the first round by the Seahawks. Darius Geis, who was drafted in the second round by the Redskins. And Ronald Jones II, who was drafted in the second round by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So out of those four, which one do you like?
Well, the two names stick out as far as their best situation. Penny and Geis seem to be the clear-cut favorites on their teams. And Michelle and Jones should be the starter. With Michelle being in the New England system, you know, it's hard to determine what he's going to be doing. So he's kind of out in my mind. Jones, I don't know enough about how they feel about Peyton Barber. So I feel like, as he should be the starter, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be the starter from day one. It looks like Penny and Geis, assuming Geis is not going to be a knucklehead in the NFL, I feel like he would probably be the best pick for me, Geis, if they're even as far as their attitude and their injuries and stuff. If I ever had any hesitation, it'd be Penny. But I think Geis has the most upside, probably the one I'd want to draft first.
Yeah, I think I probably agree with you almost exactly to a T on every single one of those players. So Michelle, yeah, fitness consigliere. Yeah.
Cue the butt slap.
Is the one guy.
Cue the butt slap.
Yeah, Michelle. He is the one that I think I want to stay away from just because of that. You know, I mean, that whole situation there in New England, they will go with a different running back every week if it means that they think they have the best chance of winning. So I feel the least confident in him, at least for this rookie year.
Yeah, what a dumb way to coach.
I know. Yeah. What an idiot. He doesn't even – Belichick doesn't even think about fantasy implications when he's drawing up a game plan. Yeah, and then I think Ronald Jones is a tier below Rashad Penny and Darius Geis. Rashad Penny, I think there's less competition for him there. Darius Geis, I mean, he's got Chris Thompson, who's definitely taking a third down role there in Washington. You know, I guess you have CJ Procise in Seattle, but how reliable is he? So if I'm looking at it, I probably go Darius Geis number one because, like you said, he has more upside than Penny.
Yeah.
But I would be fine, I think, taking either one of those two as my, you know, I guess if I went wide receiver heavy in a draft, I would be fine with them as a wide receiver number two, or excuse me, a running back number two if it's a 12-team league or something like that. But,
right.
Okay, well, cool. All right, hey, before we go on to analyzing the AFC South, Kirk, I want to bring your attention to this is the summer's number one newest horror movie. Critics are calling it the scariest movie they've seen since the Blair Witch Project. This horror movie documents four friends who go on a cabin vacation, and this vacation turns deadly when they find a sexually frustrated ghost. Written and directed by Bennett Silverman. Let's listen to some quotes from this movie.
I love surveillance service. This place is going to be great for us. Turns deadly. No. Mindy Dinkle of Sammamish is victim of freak OTP handjob accident. When her handjob hand slips, causing it to strike her own face and tumble out of a window to her death. In life, sometimes things are far worse than death. Handjobs. Normally, when someone receives one, they just hate it. But in this place, they die.
Opening Friday the 13th. Go to your favorite theater and see Handjob Cabin. Come into a theater near you.
Okay.
It'll scare the pants off
you. Yeah. Yeah. Two thumbs up, I guess. I don't know.
One thumb.
Well, if you do a thumb up, you may poke yourself in the eye, right? Or poke your partner in the eye.
Oh, we have a guest here on our show. Dominic the Donkey is down here. So, what's your question, Dominic?
How many Super Bowls have the Giants won?
How many Super Bowls have the Giants won? Kirk, do you know that off the top of
your head? I think they have won two.
You are correct. You're the big winner for the show today. All right. So now that we get that guest back in his room, we can get on with the show.
I was expecting a totally different question out of him based on the trailer for the movie. I thought maybe he would be asking.
No. That's some stuff we're not gonna answer those questions for a long time, for a couple of years anyway. and just so our two listeners know, he was not down here when the ad was going on. So. All right. Hey, coincidentally, so that was my son Dominic. His favorite team right now, for some unknown reason, is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we're talking about the AFC South. And so we'll go through the team's records and who we think are the fringe or mid-level round players for each team. And that's actually the team I want to talk about first is the Jacksonville Jaguars. I have them as winning the division at a record of 10-6. Last year they went to the AFC Championship. They were up by 10 points in the second half until New England came back and won. They did not have a great offense last year, but they had an all-time great defense, especially passing defense. Fantasy-wise, that was the most fantasy-relevant defense, not only from a scoring points perception, but also from quarterbacks. You did not want to play a quarterback who was playing against the Jacksonville defense because they just shut even great quarterbacks down. So, Jacksonville, what do you think about them this year?
Well, my name's Kirk, and I think I have them at 11-5. And whether they win the division is kind of up in the air because I also have another team at 11-5. So, I think it's a fairly top-heavy division with these two teams. Okay. But, defense is by far their strong suit because I was searching for players outside of their best player to figure out who's going to make a fantasy impact. So I don't know what's going to happen on offense, and I'm even missing a position that you're going to have to help me out with because I don't know who some of these players are. That's how bad they are.
So for these episodes, we're not going to talk about the obvious player. So we're not going to talk about Leonard Fournette. He's he's a lock and loaded, I think, top six running back, right. top seven yes. running back. So right. if you can get him in the late first, early second round, I would go with him. But let's talk about some of the other guys. So Blake Bortles, quarterback in points per game. How do you feel about Blake Bortles? Is he somebody that you would look at drafting as a quarterback number two?
Not unless he's what's left. I mean, talk about sloppy seconds. He's kind of been spit out and just been very disappointing the last few years. And if
rode hard yeah, and put up
if,
wet,
if last year's any indication, he does not need to perform to a higher standard. He just needs to not lose the game and they'll be just fine. So,
well, okay. So let me read his last 5 weeks of the fantasy season to you where he registered compared to other quarterbacks. So this was his finish in relation to the other quarterbacks in the league, the last 5 weeks of the season. 7th, 3rd, 10th, 6th, and 3rd. Those were his last 5 weeks of the fantasy season. Now, granted, that was 5 out of his 6 top 10 finishes during last season, but that was reminiscent of Blake Bortles from 3 yes. years ago when he was a quarterback number 1 and threw for 35 touchdown passes. So, I don't think it's out of the question. He does have a running aspect to his game. I don't think it's out of the question that he's a streamer. He'll probably go undrafted in most leagues, but just something I think interesting.
Well,
I
was going to say it's going to prove my point, but it doesn't. What proves the point is that those are his weeks late in the season when they needed him most. But as a fantasy outlook, he was very disappointing for most of the year. So you wouldn't draft him, like you said, and you'd pick him up based on injury, I would say. And how you're going to predict how he's going to do, I have no idea. So he's just not very consistent from a fantasy perspective. And, those are great weeks. But, you know, even after the first or after the second time he probably played well, people probably still weren't sold on him. So, being picked up was, only out of necessity.
So the thing about quarterbacks and when we talk about streaming quarterbacks is they seem to be more predictable than a position like tight ends, to where if you see them playing a bad pass defense, maybe that's somebody right. you go after. But, okay. Hey, moving on. So the only other position I want to talk about for Jacksonville is wide receiver. And typically on these shows, we want to talk about who's going to be the number two or number three guy. Mm-hmm. But with Jacksonville, I have no idea who's going to be the number one guy.
I have four guys so that I have slotted as ones I want to talk yeah. about.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about Marquise yep. Lee first. Last year had 56 catches for about 700 yards. He was a first-round pick. People don't realize this. He was a first-round pick in the year where they picked Allen Robinson in the second round. So he was a higher draft pick. They decide to keep Marquise Lee where they get rid of Allen Robinson. He was their best guy last year. He finished 43rd in points per game last year in the league. What do you think about him? I think he may be the front runner to be the number one guy, I guess.
Yeah, with the guys I'm seeing on their team, I don't know how to say it. You're going to have to figure that out like in week one through four. Who emerges or who seems to be the favorite target to Bortles. I don't think Lee will be the clear-cut favorite, so I would hold your horses on him. He should be, and, if I had to spend a dollar on deciding whether to take him, I guess he'd be the best one, but I don't know. It's just so hard to – I think there's another player that will rise up and be better.
I'm guessing you're going to say D.D. Westbrook.
He's He's a Captain Vegetable player, and he's probably going to be the best wide receiver in Jacksonville. I don't know if I'll keep him. Who knows?
He did predict he was going to go for 200 yards in his first ever NFL game.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, he was pretty close. I mean,
so what would you have to keep him for this year?
I don't remember. Probably too much.
Here, I'll tell you here in a second. So, why do you think he'll be better?
I have no idea. The talk last year was they were very, very big on him. He had very good preseason numbers and the way he looked, and they were anxious to get him back in. I mean, that's from my inside sources in Jacksonville, and I have a lot of connections down there, down in the Jacksonville area. So I think they're high on him because of his skill set. So I think they may be forcing the ball to him early and often. He does a lot of the intermediate routes, and he's more of a route runner rather than just having this over-the-top athletic skill set. So look for him to be number one.
Okay. Obviously, they had to feel comfortable about one of the young guys to be able to let go of Robinson. So right now you picked him up off the waiver wire last year, so he was $0. So, you know, you have Jamal Williams, Ricky Seals-Jones, Curtis Samuel, one of those players you can apply the rookie discount to. So if it's Westbrook, he could potentially be $0 next year if you want to keep
him. I mean, he's on the table for trades. I mean, I know people have been bugging me about him. So yeah, he is now available.
Just now,
hey, breaking news. Dede Westbrook is available for trade.
So the next player to talk about is Keelan Cole, who led the team in yards last year. I mean, he still had like 750 yards, but he was another one who looked good. He had big play potential and another rookie. What do you think about him?
I think he's in the same category as Lee. I'd wait and see if they're gonna utilize him. I think he's in the same mold as Lee, to where, you know, he's more of a down the field guy and can do more than just catch intermediate passes. So I do like him too. On their team, they have a good set of slightly above average wide receivers, and he's one of them.
Okay. And you said you had a fourth guy.
Dante Moncrief, you ever hear of him?
Yeah. Oh, totally forgot he was on their team.
I know. Yeah, I have.
So what do you think Dante Moncrief
is
going to do?
What do I think he's going to do? I don't know. I don't know how he's going to fit in there. He didn't really do much in Indianapolis, so now he's on this team. You know, he has athletic ability, and he's got speed and has all the tools. So it's kind of a crapshoot if he's going to fit in or if he's going to fall off the radar like he did in Indianapolis.
Yeah, so that he's one where it's kind of hard to know if he was a system guy or what. But you know, the other thing is they drafted in, I believe, the second round DJ Chark too as well from LSU. So that's a fifth guy if you want to throw him in there. And what a messy situation. I think the moral of the story is, though, when it comes to draft time, I don't see any of these guys being drafted as anything more than your wide receiver number 4 or 5.
Yeah, and what about the tight end? The tight end for their team.
I don't know
who it is. That's a good point, because I don't know who it is either.
So they did get rid of Marseille Lewis. Either way, I don't think it's anyone who's draft worthy.
There we go.
So,
expert analysis.
There you go. The guy I don't know, I wouldn't draft him. So they have James Osha Hennessy. They have Niall. Austin Seferian Jenkins did sign.
Oh, that's a big year, one. So. Draft him early and often.
Oh, we were big on him last year, right?
He was amazing last year.
All he did is catch touchdowns. He was like Chris Carter. He was like Chris Carter.
ASJ.
So, all right. Well, good. Can we move on, please? All right. The next team I have is, I guess I'm guessing this is the other team you have at 11-5.
That is correct, Texans. Sir.
All right. I have them at 8-8. They went 4-12 last year. They were banged up. So why do you have them so high?
Assuming Watson is you know, for the most part, close to what he was last year, I think that bodes very well for, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins and Fuller. I feel that the running back situation will shake out this year to whether it's going to be Lamar Miller again or that Deontay Foreman. I do like this team offensively. Even the tight end, I think, can make an impact, and they do have some athletic.
And who's that?
What's that?
And who are you talking about? Tight end. Oh, okay.
He'll shine. Okay. He'll shine in this system. It's a Texas style shoot 'em up type of offense.
Are you just saying that because they're from Houston and called the Texans?
Yeah, I think it fits well.
Yeah, like I said, I have them at 8-8. I don't think they're going to be much better. I don't think their offense is going to be explosive. Obviously, I think DeAndre Hopkins and Watson can be explosive, but that's about it. Talk about Will Fuller. What do you think about him this year?
He's not a high volume guy, but he's definitely makes the most out of what he gets. Last year with Watson, he totally benefited with almost every throw his way. I don't think that pace will be sustainable, but I mean, he could be a 60 catch guy and have 900 yards and, you know, have some really good games. Where I would draft him, I mean, obviously it would be, you know, he's late, very late, but he could, if he's still there late in the snake draft, I would have no problem picking him up with a healthy Watson.
You're just taking a chance, right? So I think a lot of people probably, when they think about him last year, all they remember is right when he came back from injury and what he did, which was in his first four games, he had seven touchdowns.
That's a hard pace to maintain, but he has the ability to do it. So it, you know.
So his last six games of the season, though, this is the ranks that he finished: 60, 83, 66, 43, 92.
Yeah, so what is it about Watson
that
worked, and why did it go away when he went away?
Well, I think with Watson, maybe just that escapability, and Fuller being a speed guy is a guy, you know, if you can extend plays, he's going to get open. Maybe, I mean, maybe that's what it was. But
again, when we assume
you're not going to count on,
if Watson is back to his form, then Fuller could be a very good option.
We shall see.
The only thing we can do is see.
I'm with you, though. I would take him late. I wouldn't count on him as anything more than a wide receiver 4 or 5. All right. The other guy is Lamar Miller. He was 21st points per game last year, 18th the year before. He's going to get high, you know, last year, 274 touches, the year before, 299. He's kind of your new Frank Gore. He only had three games as a running back number one. I kind of feel like you said, Deontay Foreman's going to cut into his touches again this year. So is he anybody you're interested in?
And the only other guy that I kind of starred, just because, you know, because again, my perspective is the offense is going to be somewhat explosive. So there may be an extra ball to go around, is I'd be looking at Braxton Miller, not as a draft person, but someone that, I would keep my eye on. Look good in spots. He's starting to fill into his wide receiver role. And depending upon how the team goes, he could be a beneficial person if, you know, Fuller goes down because he has injury issues. You know, Braxton Miller could be the guy that steps up for them. But certainly not putting any weight on that at all.
All right, moving on. Mm-hmm. Tennessee Titans. Last year they were 9-7, snuck into the playoffs. They had a great playoff win. I remember with Mariota catching that touchdown pass mm-hmm. himself against KC and a big comeback win. I think that is the most you can expect out of them is 9-7 with a playoff win. That is their peak. I have them going 7-9 this year.
I have 8-8.
Okay. Really the big player I want to talk about with them is Corey Davis. He was a top 10 pick for them last year. Big receiver, had some injury problems last year, only averaged like 6 fantasy points per game. I mean, even Eric Decker averaged more points per game than Corey Davis last year. So, but I think he showed some potential, really big upside. I think he's got the potential to be a wide receiver mm-hmm. number two.
I guess I'm higher on Rishard Matthews is still their best wide receiver, right?
He was last year, and he's still there. He's coming back. So they really have Rishard Matthews, Corey Davis, and Tywan Taylor as
I seem to favor Rishard Matthews just because of his actual production. But, Corey Davis, I guess should be the guy because of his skill set and athletic build. So I guess I still would lean towards Rishard Matthews. I wouldn't draft either one of them. I know some people want to go after Tajay Sharp because of a magazine that told him to do so. I'd stay away from him.
Yeah, he is one of the magazine guys. that's funny. All right, Marcus Mariota last year was 23rd points per game. The year before he was number 12, so he wasn't quarterback one. In 15 games, he only had 13 passing touchdowns last year. People view him as a rushing quarterback. He gets rushing touchdowns. His totals have been 5, 6, 7 rushing touchdowns each year, but he does not really get a lot of rushing yards, maybe 200 to 300. Last year, though, the thing that really scares me about him is he only had 3 top 10 finishes as a quarterback last year, where if you look at Tyrod Taylor and Deshaun Kizer had 7 top 10 finishes last year. So I'm staying away from Mariota. I know he's kind of a shiny object to some people, but I have
never thought to draft him since coming into the league other than this first year.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know anything about him. That was it. After that, I never had any desire to have him on any of my teams. So that's that.
All right, there you go. All right, hey, Indianapolis Colts. Last year, 4-12, obviously without Andrew Luck the entire season. He's still not throwing an actual size football, so we'll be curious to see how that goes. You know, they traded for Jacoby Brissett, who I thought filled in great for them last year. Winning 4 games, I thought was actually a pretty good accomplishment.
Yeah.
For the roster that he had been with. They improved their O-line. Still no great skilled players other than maybe T.Y. Hilton. This team is not a lot of fun to look at. But I think with Andrew Luck, if we're assuming health, I give them 3 extra wins this year. So I have
I had them at 7-10 and then had to make a correction one way or the other. So I went with 6-10. So yeah, I struggled to get excited about this team. When you highlight as many tight ends as wide receivers as who you'd want on their team, that's bad.
All right. So what wide receivers or tight ends
would you want? Well, Ryan Grant, I don't think I'd want him, but I would look at him because he's supposed to be a good player.
Is he going to be their number 2 or number 3? They do have Chester Rogers, who was a rookie last year at over 500 yards.
They certainly Ryan Grant offseason certainly seemed like he was going to take the step to be a two, or, you know, maybe someone's one, depending upon where he went. I guess that's the only – I don't know enough about Chester Rogers that something doesn't click with that name. I don't think he's going to be any good.
Sorry, yeah. So, actually, last year was his second year, not his rookie year, but he was an undrafted guy out of Grambling State.
Cool.
6'1" guy. He's kind of similar to Ryan Grant, that he's not a Bernie. He's just there. Intermediate to possession kind of guy.
Whatever. I would look at Eric Ebron as someone that, you know, I might draft, but, you know, either him or Jack Doyle, they're killing each other there. So,
yeah, that's why I was originally very high on Jack Doyle before the Ebron signing, but now, yeah, I don't think I want either one. The only other player to talk about, in my opinion, is Marlon Mack. What do you think about him this year?
I think he's going to get the opportunity to show whether he's good or not, and if that makes any has any weight with anybody, then that may be somebody late in a draft to look at and say, hey, it's a starting running back. Looks like he's going to get a lot of carries, or at least a lot of looks early. So you may be able to, you know, in an auction draft, get him for free or a dollar, and then just wait until one of the last picks probably to get him as a running back. I don't put any more emphasis on him at all.
Yeah, I think he did flash in some spots. I think he's got big play potential. I'd be curious, though. I still think they may sign somebody, maybe DeMarco Murray or somebody like that, to come in. But if not, I think he's definitely somebody who I would take a chance on just as a flyer.
Yeah, the first 4 weeks, he could be great.
Because there's nobody challenging him. Nobody challenging him at all, so – we'll see.
Well,
all right, dude. Well, hey.
Hey, I tried to make that as exciting as possible. So,
I know you did just as much prep for that as you did for the Browns episode.
Yep, I did.
All right, good. Well, all right. Well, hey, that's all I got. So that's it for the Fancy Boys. We're signing off.
Fading.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.